Happy to be here again in the house of the Lord. I especially appreciate that little chorus you just sang. You'll find out in a minute why. But the last little while now, we took two messages on the adoption, which I believe is for this age. There'll be a distinct manifestation of the Spirit of God in the church. Brother Branham said that if the refreshing from his presence could bring forth the tremendous ministry which we know came forth in what we often call that first pull, he said, what will it be like when all in all comes? Well, that's over, of course, in the book of Ephesians, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. I believe that's the end time when Christ is entirely poured into the church. And remember, we're growing up into the head, starting from the foundation. When that great ministry of the end time, or the bride herself, will be so identified with Christ that the ministry will fit perfectly. In other words, the headstone coming down will fit perfectly. So how close the bride must be in relationship to him is just one with him. She's becoming one with that word. And we're looking for that to happen. The bride to literally bring forth Christ. Bring forth in the realm of the Spirit. And then, of course, Christ to come forth in the body when he will be united with the bride at the marriage supper in the air. Then we went into the study of the end time mystery of iniquity, where people wouldn't know wickedness from righteousness. And that sounds very strange, because you tell that to people and they'd say, don't tell me I don't know right from wrong. But they don't. This is how they're deceived into the World Council of Churches, where they come into a mark of the beast through a church system. And they don't even recognize they're in it. Some will never recognize it. They'll just be wiped out when the Lord comes to take vengeance upon the earth. And then there'll be millions, I believe, that'll recognize it too late. They'll be trapped. And they'll have to give their lives in order to escape damnation. And this, of course, is under the sixth seal, where the church is purged. They believe the lie, which is to believe they're born again, but they're not. This is the age when they believe that the end justifies the means. They believe certain commandments, such as go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And yet, we know that in the white throne judgment, Jesus condemns them for bringing forth the very signs that he said must be brought forth. Now, this sounds like almost a travesty against justice. It seems as though God doesn't know his own mind, but this is that deceit the Bible speaks of, that they shall believe the lie, because they took not pleasure in the truth, but they took pleasure in unrighteousness. That narrow, narrow line that people don't realize exists today. The two spirits are so close that many are deceived. Your best friends are being deceived. The people you've associated with years are being deceived. And you say, you don't know right from wrong, well, they'd laugh in your face. They'd say, you're the one that's gone off the deep end. But we know what the Scripture says. We took several messages on it, even to the showing you what the mysteries are, the revealed Word of God come down out of heaven, which we have had under the ministry of the prophet. Showing you out of that, as I've already said, one of those great mysteries, the mystery of iniquity at the end time. And as Brother Branham said, in one place iniquity, they knew better, but they didn't do better. There's the people that quote this book don't believe it. And so now this morning we want to go along another line of thought that Brother Branham taught on, which, of course, so many people don't agree with. And that is the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. What is it really? That's why I said you'd appreciate knowing in a minute why that little song was sung, Lord, Send the Power, just now. Every morning of the time you've been singing the Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. But this morning you sang a little bit about that power. Now, the power of God in the church is by the Holy Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This is how it's accomplished. And people today, we know that except a man be born of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And also, except a man have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And remember that we're all baptized into one body. And we're not born again unless we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the rebirth and the baptism with the Holy Ghost is the same thing. Brother Branham said that we are reborn by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. He said that twice in the manifestation of the sons of God. And then, of course, you'll find a goodly treatise on the church ages on the very same subject. So we want to deal with that this morning in order that we understand thoroughly what the true baptism with the Holy Ghost really is. And before we read then in the book of Acts, second chapter, shall we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious eternal Father, we're glad to be with your people this morning, knowing now, Lord, that you have got by your Spirit to lead us into truth and show us these things. For no matter how clear they are in your word, still they are of great confusion before us, unless your Spirit reveals the truth to us. So many things, Lord, that your prophet said, and we know their truth because he had that same ministry that you brought down to earth 2,000 years ago. For you said the days of the Son of Man would repeat, and then they would be gone from off the earth, and we would look back at them. And we wouldn't perhaps necessarily covet to see one of those days, though you said they would covet to see those days, and they wouldn't see them. But they're gone now. But you left us something which is greater. You left us the Word, which that great power ministry demonstrated that this indeed was the Word. And now here we are, Lord, without access to that same one who brought us the Word as a prophet. But we don't need him if we have the Holy Spirit. For he will lead us and guide us into all truth. And he will take the things that were said and make them real unto us. Now, therefore, we're relying upon the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us as our very life, and who is in the midst of the people also. And we are looking now to him, the Christ within us, to give us this truth and the revelation of it in such a way that we'll not be shocked off of course, nor put off balance, nor we'll neither veer to the left or the right by any wind whatsoever of doctrine, but grow up into Christ, which we believe we're growing up into now, until we come to the full measure of the stature of the perfect man in Jesus Christ. We look to this, therefore, Lord, now that you'll guide the very words of the mouth and the hearing of the ear, so we shall not err, not add one word or take one word away, but absolutely stand in the thus saith the Lord, which has been delivered to us. And we'll be careful to ascribe unto the honor and glory, because you've made it possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to the book of Acts, the second chapter, just to get a reading, 1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, in my opinion, and I say my opinion because somebody else may have another opinion, which is perfectly all right. In my opinion, there are three major schools of thought propagated as to what the true evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost really is. Now, by far the largest group, in my estimation, is that group that believes the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is to be Christ-like in the sense of fruit-bearing. And they use the scripture found over here in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verses 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now they contend because that this is the fruit of the Spirit of Almighty God, that if you are full of the Spirit of God, you will indeed bring forth these 9 fruits of the Spirit. And therefore, if you manifest them, you are truly baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they use also 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to show that it is fruit-bearing and not some supernatural gift that is indeed the evidence. And they say, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, and love is a fruit of the Spirit, I am become sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And that hardly would be the character of a Christian or a definition. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and of course that definitely is one of the gifts, and understand all mysteries, and have all faith, and that's one of the gifts, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am still nothing. You know, notice these are supernatural manifestations now, according to 1 Corinthians 12. And then it jumps to Romans 12. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and this also is a gift, which is the gift of giving. Now here's where Pentecost made a great mistake. They thought there's only 9 gifts. There are hundreds of gifts. If you don't speak with tongues, that doesn't mean a thing, if you don't speak with tongues. Or if you do speak with tongues, that doesn't mean a thing. In the sense that you're going to categorize it and stand on it. You don't stand with 9 super manifestations. It right here tells you that in Romans 12 that you can show mercy with cheerfulness. That's a ministry. That's a gift too. Frankly, I'd sooner have that a million times than talking in tongues. Say, well, I believe tongues edify me. Well, that's fine, but how about edifying somebody else for a change? This is what's a nice little thought that goes through my head now and then. See? And it profits nothing. So, you see, they use this thought here that if you have the fruit of the Spirit, then definitely you must be full of the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost manifests in this fruit. So, therefore, if I have the manifestation, then I have the manifester, the Holy Spirit. That's the largest group believes this way. And I believe there's another group, and I don't say they're the second largest now, so don't think that. A second group believes that though one ought to bear fruit, and though one will bear fruit, the true evidence is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And they say, since this manifestation cannot come apart from the Holy Spirit, see, whereas the fruit could, since this supernatural manifestation cannot come apart from the Holy Spirit, then if I have this manifestation, then regardless of anything else, truly I must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And of course, they use the scripture which I read in Acts 2:1-4, but particularly they use the scripture found in Acts chapter 10, verses 44-46. Now, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And of course also they used chapter 19 of the book of Acts, 1-6. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. And while they heard this, they were baptized. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And of course, the one they emphasize is in Acts 10, for it says, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So they believe that there must be a supernatural manifestation in your life as founded in 1 Corinthians 12, in the enumeration of the 9 gifts, but the emphasis is on tongues, which becomes the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That's the second group. Then there's a third group, and they are also very, very large in number, and they believe very, very strong in fruit-bearing, but they place the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost upon witnessing and bringing souls into the kingdom. For they say, if you are truly born again, you will find it impossible to not witness to Jesus Christ and not bring souls into the kingdom. And you'll find the scripture they use is over here in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 6-8. Now, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But now listen, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, no one can say that these three groups do not use Scripture to back up their faith or their various beliefs or tenets or doctrines or whatever you want to call it. The Scripture they use are certainly the Word of God. Each one absolutely uses the Bible. And those Scriptures absolutely deal with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in men's lives. Now make no mistake about it. Every Scripture that I read this morning absolutely deals with the indwelling of the Spirit, or those that are born again, those that are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Every Scripture has to do genuinely with the lives of those that are Spirit-filled, because the Bible says so. They refer to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Yet not one of these groups has the true revelation for their doctrine. There is a mishandling or a misunderstanding or a misinterpreting of the Word of God in all cases. Now, I'm not throwing off on them, because that's not our purpose to be here this morning. But we must make it abundantly clear that they have missed the truth somewhere down the line, because the Word does not state that any of these is the actual evidence per se. Now, they say a lot of correct things about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's right, they do. They say a lot of correct things. And everything that's in here, there is a correctness to it, in the sense that the Scripture they use refers to the indwelling or the work of the Holy Spirit in men's lives. Yet, in spite of the correctness of the Scripture used, and I bring this thought out, they're using correct Scripture concerning the baptism with the Holy Ghost or the Spirit-filled life, not one per se actually tells you what the evidence is. In other words, they do not lay down a starting point from which you may go. Now, there's only one way to find out what the actual evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is, and that's to study the Scripture and to find the purpose of His indwelling. Because the purpose manifested will have to be the evidence. Now, Brother Branham said that, of course. But we won't worry too much about what he said, because we're going to meet the people on their own grounds, because they don't know about Brother Branham. And if they did know, they wouldn't want to listen anyway. So let's just find out what the Bible actually says, and this will be our guide. Now, let's go to the book of John, the 14th chapter, and we'll read at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So therefore, the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of Jesus. He also said, my word is spirit and life, and the words that I speak unto you, rather, are spirit and life. They're spirit and truth, rather. So now this is that spirit we're looking for, the Spirit of truth. Now watch, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Now they're looking right at him, but they couldn't understand who he was. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now where did he get a second person of the Godhead here, a third person rather? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, it's impossible. He said he's dwelling with you. The one you're looking at's going to be in you. See, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. See, now, notice in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now notice how he put that. This Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, has a definite work to do. And that work, of course, is a comforter, a paraclete, the one called alongside to help. And what is he going to do? What is his help going to be? To you personally, He will be the teacher. He said, I'm going to send, he'll be sent in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, watch what those things are. What he said. Now, we go to John 16, read verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I've explained that before. It sounds like an insult. God, very blunt, said, I've got a lot of things to tell you, but it wouldn't do me one bit of good to tell you. You haven't got what it takes to receive it. That's what he told them. So I've got many things to say to you. Now watch the emphasis on things. Things. Not objects. See? But it actually breaks down into doctrine. I have many things to say to you, but you don't have what it takes at this time, so therefore I will refrain. Now verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All things, all truth. Things are truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now what do you speak? You speak words. See? What do words become? The conveyor of thoughts. Where do thoughts come from? The mind. Now what will the Holy Spirit be doing? And he will show you things to come. Now what things? The truth. The truth which is for a future period. The word revealed in its day. See? Now, also, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now we're going to establish our doctrine. Beginning at verse 9. But as it is written, that's the Bible. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, we're dealing with something which has to do in the realm of the objects. Something you might be able to put your hands on. But watch. Whatever these things are now, which could deal with a material concept in a spiritual world. Notice, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him have not been seen by eye, nor heard by ear, nor understood on the grounds of man's ability to be able to receive them from something he himself produces. Now watch. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So therefore the concept of even that which lies in the future dealing with the kingdom itself has to be brought to us through the process of exegesis, which is to explain thoroughly by words. Because he said the Spirit will take the things of him and himself and show them to us. And John says, the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. And the word declare in the Greek is exegesis, which is to explain thoroughly by word. So therefore we are reduced to an understanding of everything in the kingdom of God coming to us by a revelation in the mind. This precedes everything that will come to us literally, both now and in the future. Now, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. See? Now watch. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now then, where is your fruit and your witnessing apart from a revelation? I hope you caught it. This is where the prophet stood, and this is where you and I become unique and hated of all men, because it seems that we ostracize them when they ostracize themselves by putting away the Holy Ghost. You follow me? Now keep it in mind. See? Notice, which things also we speak. Now notice, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, you can have every single manifestation you want and do every duty you want in your life, but if you're not in line with the revealed Word of God and the dictates of the Holy Ghost in God's divine pattern, everything you do falls to the ground. Now we'll prove it. I have made one word here I can't back up by Scripture. We'll just prove it as time goes on. Notice, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, which means you've got the Holy Ghost in order to judge between. Right in the Bible you've got to judge between. I said, right in the Bible you've got to judge between. You don't just quote Scripture and say, this is what the Bible said, this is what the Bible said. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to know exactly what the Bible said and where it fits. Because this age is going to end up crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now notice, they can't crucify Him afresh, but they do it to themselves. Yeah. They literally crucify themselves at the end time. The very cross that they depended upon to save them will crucify them at the end time. Because there is no spiritual discernment. You know that's true because Hebrews the 6th chapter says that's when they turn down the last day message. Once for all enlightenment. See? Turn it down. Now, let's go also, pardon me, to 1 John, the 2nd chapter. Verse 20. But you have an anointing or an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now remember, before there can be any such thing as a building, an edifice, or anything in the realm of the material, there must be first of all a blueprint. And then that which is constructed or comes to pass must be according to the blueprint. Here is where you find God's foreknowledge predating predestination. It is the great architect with the master blueprint bringing forth his edifice. And the same applies to you and me. We also must be in the blueprint. And everything we do must be in the blueprint. As God said to Moses, see thou make it according to the pattern I showed thee on the mount. And this was the structure of worship. Let a man be outside of the structure of God, ordained worship, worship all he wants, and claim all he wants, his worship is vain. That's right. Now, we've been dealing with that the last 4 or 5 sermons. See? Now, you have an anointing, and you know all things. 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Didn't he say, I'm come to abide with you forever? Never leave you nor forsake you? And you need not any man to teach you. No man can do this. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is not a man. And Jesus was a man, and he couldn't do it. It took the Holy Spirit. Christ's ministry on earth, except for the fact that he was the Son of Man, and also the Lamb of God, was completely a dismal failure. When only one man could say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he turned and said, nobody got, you didn't get that from a man or from yourself. You got that from God. My Father revealed it. But after he left, the church was set on fire because the Holy Spirit came, because they were walking by the divine revelation and the things of God were now made real. See, which Paul said, these things we speak. You don't have any man to teach you. Now, this does not obviate, as some people think, even who say they believe this message, that there's no teachers. As Brother Branham said, wouldn't God be ridiculous to put teachers in the body and then deny it? That's like strapping your hand behind your back, your good right arm, and saying, well, now there you are. I just don't need that arm, and I'm going to leave. You know, that's okay for the worshipers in India or someplace to do something like that. But if you say you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't take away from the Word. See? Now, it says you need not any man to teach you. Why? Because no man can do it. I don't care how capable and how spirit-filled a man is. There is no such thing as that man teaching anybody unless you've got the same spirit he's got. Even George Fox knew that. He said the reason the people didn't understand Moses and love Moses was because they didn't have the same spirit in them that Moses had in him. And that's the way that the children of Israel were in the days of Jesus. They never had the same spirit in them that Jesus had, so therefore they could not understand. Except for a little flash. Now, but the same anointing teaches you all things. Now watch. And is the truth and no lie. Now what's truth? Words. Correct. What's a lie? Wrong words. And even, now watch, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide, and abiding is fruit bearing. Now where's your fruit bearing outside the Word? Supposing you're bearing fruit and don't have the Word. Now come on. See, we're just looking, we're looking just at the Scripture to see what the evidence really is. Now, you can see right here, that from the purpose for which the Holy Spirit was given, and how He is to truly manifest in our lives, there could never be a physical, supernatural evidence like tongues or gifts. You get it? The purpose of the Holy Spirit. Why He's given to you. How could there be a supernatural evidence like tongues or other gifts? Now listen, teaching, that's what he's for, teaching by the Spirit, though that in itself is a supernatural ministry of the Spirit, has no outward or physical evidence. Just what the prophet said. Now because you folk are used to me, and we're one happy family here, I look at your faces, and you're grasping it. You're watching me carefully. But I can preach to some churches, and they look at me like this. Cigar store Indians. Another fella, because his eyes aren't so good, he's looking like this. You know what? The people look like this might be getting it, while the guy doing this might not even know what I'm talking about. There is absolutely no outward evidence as to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, what about the other Scriptures? Just leave them be where they are. We're talking about evidence. Not what somebody thinks evidence, what really is. Because it's an inside job of teaching. And one man may react as a stoic. The other with great outward joy. You can't tell because it's a teaching ministry the Holy Spirit has. That's what He is given for. That's what Jesus said He's given for. That's His purpose. Then out of that purposes can come other things. But the evidence could not be physical by any stretch of the imagination. See? Now, it's not a knowledge that we gather by memorizing the Word, because we could do that too. It's an actual spiritual revelation. Now, let me show you that this is actually in the Bible, what I said. It is not something that you can look at and see. 1 Corinthians, back again, the second chapter. Now, we're going to read the 14th verse again as our groundwork. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You and I by ourselves cannot know for anything about the real truth of God. Yet I want to tell you, you can know everything there is to know about those nine fruits, and pretty well the same thing about those nine so-called gifts and the rest in Romans 12. Yet it says without the Holy Ghost you can't know a thing. You really don't know. You don't know the hour in which you live, because He's going to show you things to come. That which deals with Christ, what He's doing, and the hour of His visitation. See, whatever the visitation is. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Elijah must first come. Now, anybody, and even before kindergarten, knows that one comes before two. Yet no Christian does outside of people like you and me. Because Elijah must first come, but nobody's looking for number one. They're looking for number two, which is Jesus. For they, in their false humility, say, I'll make Jesus first. Hallelujah. Jesus first. Now, just calm right down, little liar. You make God a liar, you better be a liar yourself. Because he said Elijah's got to come first. So how come you're looking for Jesus and you haven't even looked for Elijah? I may be a rough preacher, but it's time to be rough. See, don't tell me that you know the Word of God if you're going to bypass what he says. And blithely think that we can just pray and say, hallelujah, that's it. Jump up and down and have a sensation. When people don't even know Elijah's got to come first, then how much knowledge is there in the world today by the Holy Ghost? I want to know that. He's supposed to teach them the things which are to come. He's supposed to teach them the things that are about Jesus. And yet if they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh at the end time, how much do they know about it? If they don't know right from wrong at the end time, how much do they know about it? Now, this is the Bible. This is not what I got to say. It doesn't matter to you what I say. It's what does the Word say. It's not how I attempt to analyze it. It's what does the Bible say. Now watch. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually judged. Now watch. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual, that's got the Holy Ghost, judges all things. You don't need any man to teach you. You got to build in you. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Then if you can't be judged by anybody, then there is absolutely no outward evidence, or you could be judged. All right, am I right or wrong? Now, the prophet said that. He said there's no physical evidence. Now watch, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, who's going to line up and say, God, you got to do it this way? When God does it his own way, and it's only the elect who won't be deceived, but they'll know God's way in the day in which they live. How many people try to instruct God? The only man that had thus saith the Lord that could stand before the people and prove that he was weak, they turned him down flat. You know, people think that when God reveals himself, he's going to cut a wide swath. How big a swath did Jesus cut when he was on earth, and yet he was God manifest in flesh? The Bible said if they didn't know him, they won't know us either. See? Now, let's go to 1 John, the third chapter, in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Now there was the Holy Ghost in flesh, and they couldn't recognize it because there was no outward evidence. You say, but there was. No, sir. Not unless you had the Holy Ghost, you didn't see anything. Not unless you're in the election, you didn't see anything. The best you could do is know something was going on. But you didn't have the revelation. Nicodemus came and he said, we know thou art a man sent from God because nobody can do the works that you do except God with him. See, you're a teacher, he said. Teach us a little gimme, God. Show us the rabbit's foot. You got it up your sleeve. You and Jesus said you got to be born again. He said there's no way of getting to know anything about this unless you have the Holy Ghost. Now listen, if they couldn't tell him who he was, that he was spirit-filled, and he was not only spirit-filled, but the whole Godhead dwelt bodily in him, then don't think we're going to have the kind of outward evidence that's going to make anybody know we've got the Holy Ghost. In other words, you can't depend on an evidence as the world wants it. It's got to be the scriptural evidence, which is being in the Word of the hour. See? Now, let's go to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and verses 10 to 17. the disciples came and said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries. That's the revealed word of God come down out of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's right. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. In other words, with your revelation will come the fullness into manifestation of that revelation. If you have a true revelation of being a true child of God by the Holy Ghost, and you are heir to that kingdom and in that bride, in the millennium, it's not something you've guessed, but it's something that's absolutely genuine. You're in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will literally come into the full manifestation of that upon which your faith relies. In other words, you will become what you believe for by the Spirit of God's revealing it to you. You're going to have it. If you haven't got it, you'll even lose what you thought you had. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now they're talking about the revealed mysteries of God, the revealed word of God. They're talking about. Talking about those things that come by the lips. See? Just like the Bible says at the end time, it said the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. The things, word of God. See? Now, keep reading. Wherefore I speak them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. Couldn't get it. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. It happened right today. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and should be converted. See, turn right around, converted. Get the Holy Ghost, walk in new life, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say to you, now listen, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Now what did the prophets do? They prophesied that which should come into manifestation, and when it came into manifestation, only those, the elect of God, were able to discern what was the word of God in manifestation for their day. That's exactly right. It happens in every age. The prophets wanted to see this thing in the manifestation. They couldn't see it. And when it came, everybody but the elect turned it down. And right today, we've got the very same thing. Daddy Bosworth prayed for 40 years for the ministry of Christ to return to this earth. And when Brother Branham came, he said, There it is in that man. He recognized it. How many men saw what Brother Bosworth saw? I don't know one other person. There was the word of God for the hour fulfilled, that the days of the Son of Man should come back at the same time the days of Noah hit this earth and the days of Lot hit this earth. And everybody screamed about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, and they understood them, and they know this is the hour, but they didn't know the hour of God's visitation, which was the return ministry in order to bring back the restored word. Then therefore, who knew the things of God? No one but the very elected, because it took spiritual discernment to get in that word. And all the world could see, or the so-called Christian, he only saw one half of it. He saw the blind side. He saw the blind side. He didn't see the side where the light was. That's right. See, he had ears to see, ears to hear and couldn't hear, eyes to see and couldn't see. He had a heart to understand when he was dead. Why? He's so full of his creeds and dogmas, so full of his own idea. What's the evidence? What's this? What's that? The Word of God spiritually discerned. It's judged spiritually. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, the Word of God will fight the Word of God. The things of God will fight the things of God, which is the Word. See? That's why denominations couldn't possibly have the Holy Ghost. How could you be in the body of Jesus Christ? See, it wouldn't work. Okay, let's go to John chapter 6. Just a little bit in here kind of brings out a thought or two. John 6, 45. It is written in all the in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Go back to Isaiah. It doesn't say that. It says all the God to know what he's doing. To bring the scripture together that you've already read. Bring it into alignment. Spiritual discernment. See? Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. See? Everybody that can be attracted by the light of the hour will come to that light. Not just a John the Baptist treatment now that he was a bright and shining light and you rejoiced for a minute, but you stuck with what John brought. Behold the Lamb of God and wait until the Lamb of God did the work of the Lamb of God and brought you right into Pentecost. And from there on you start your life. But they rejoice for a little hour. Don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost, you rejoice just for an hour and then turn on the Word. How many men said they believed Brother Branham, then when he got died, smeared across the road, as somebody said to me. Then they turned. Yeah, a man thought that's all I had. I was looking for someone to cry on the shoulder, looking for some prophet. He thought I was one of those little follower type of guys. Oh, no. I've been through too many hours of traveling the hard way myself to worry about following a man. Well, this is the kind of man Brother Branham was, to bring the word. And that's different. See? But they walked off. We said, I don't see where God smears a man across the road. I said, he fed him to lions. Scattered him as dung over the face of the earth. At least he left Brother Branham in one piece. He said, if you expect me to follow a man that's living, then I'll go kiss the Pope's toe. He's a lion. No. See? You know, you don't look at a light for a while. You have the Holy Spirit to discern. You'll identify and be one of it. Just what the Bible teaches here. Now, the Spirit of God that moves amongst the people quickens the mind of the person to the promise of God. Brother Branham said that. The Spirit of God that moves amongst the people quickens the mind of the person to the promise of God. See, the promise of the hour. Now, notice how this teaching by the Spirit is brought to us by Spirit-filled men. Let's go to 1 John here. The 4th chapter. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now watch. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now you try the spirits that come by what? Teaching. Because a false prophet is a man who purports to bring you the truth, the revealed truth, because the original meaning of a prophet is a revealer of the thoughts of God or the Word of God. He's a revealer. That even predates the idea of a prophet bringing the Word. Now these men are those who are supposed to bring us the truth. They can, in many cases, be false. Now with this, we read also the 5th and 6th verses. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Crowd goes along with that. I like that. Yeah, I'll go with that. That shows what kind of spirit there is. You know, the world's all saying today, how come our church didn't know about William Branham? He's that great man you say he is. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If their churches had known, I wouldn't be going along today. Because you can bet on one thing, the crowd's wrong. The crowd never was right. Never will be right. Can't be. See? The world heareth them. Now listen, we are of God. Now listen to John. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God associates the teaching by the Spirit. He associates that truth with Spirit-filled men. Now John says right here that men are in the world. They can have the true spirit or the wrong spirit. And the true spirit of God will be bringing the revealed word of Almighty God, just like John said, he that hears God, or he that is of God, hears me. And he said, if you're of God, you will hear me. And if you're not of God, you will not hear me. And he said, this is the way that you can know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. This is the way that you can know if a man's full of the Holy Ghost and there is no other way. There's no physical evidence. Here's the way you're going to do it. Based upon a revelation of truth. Now, I'm not giving you my ideas. This is what the Bible says. Now, of course, I know that this is an awful big mouthful for a man to say. He gets up and he says, listen, you people, I want to tell you something. He said that the spirit of truth and error is now in the world. It was just the spirit of truth, but it's no longer the spirit of truth. It's the spirit of truth and error. And he said, two people are in the field today, the right one and the wrong one. Now he said, if you want to know the right one, I'll tell you flat. He said, you're of God if you hear me. and said, "Oh, did you hear what he said? Why, that big mouth braggart. Yeah. He had the nerve to say, I know who's of God by the fact of the one they're listening to. And John says, if you listen to me, I know you're of God. Well, I can say the same baloney. If you hear me, I know you're of God. Well, go ahead. Let's bring it right down to where it is. That's why you're never getting denominations to see this. They're so sure of their creeds and dogmas, they say, we're the ones you better listen to. Okay? Now, let's just look at the truth. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, we must be careful to see that the true spirit is associated with men teaching just the same as the false spirit is. Now, everybody likes to magnify the idea of a false teacher, a false spirit. But the minute you do, then you've got to put also the other side on the man and have another man standing there who's not a counterfeit, but he's a genuine servant of God. And where is it? It's not in the external evidence. It's in the revealed word being expressed on the lips of those teaching. No place else. Now let's find out if there's another witness. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and verses 36 to 37. Now here's what Paul said. Now we've quoted this many times. You could almost quote it yourself. It says, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? See? If any man think himself to be a prophet, one of the fivefold ministry, or spiritual, full of the Holy Ghost, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What things? Things are the truths, the revealed doctrine of Almighty God. Those mysteries whereof Paul spoke. And he said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, he said, you'll know that I have brought you the Word of God. He said, identical to what John said. See? Now, isn't that something? He didn't say, if you speak in tongues, I know you got the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, if you bear fruit, I know you got the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, if you're winning souls, you got the Holy Ghost. He said, if you agree with what I say, if you'll stand for it, now, never mind what comes out of it. There'll be plenty come out of it. But the evidence, or what we're looking for, has to do with men and women following the revealed Word of God, which is revealed to certain people. Why? Because that's how it started. And remember, God can't change. For whatsoever the Lord doeth, He doeth it forever, and no man can add to it or take away from it. See, because God does it. You can't change it. That's your precept. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation and follow this through as I've done it before. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 10. Let's see how that God's got men who bring us the revealed word in every age. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, verse 10, and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now, you know right away that a trumpet signifies that there is a trumpeter who sounds to bring a message. No trumpeter runs around, you're going to go toot, 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 and doesn't mean a thing, because Paul said there is no such thing as a trumpet without a voice, or it's not a trumpet. Is it not something indiscriminate in the word? The man is a messenger. Now, the trumpet is a message. It's a voice. It was like a trumpet. Now watch, in verse 12, and I turned to see the voice. Now notice, he said to see a voice, not to see the man, not to see the one bringing it, but to see the voice, which is, what does that voice bring forth? Is it the revealed Word of God? Then you don't look at the messenger, you look at the Word. That's why there's such a great problem today of making this a Branham cult instead of bringing the people to Christ. Now, you can't ignore the one that brought the Word, which is the messenger. But when you're brought to the Word, it must bring you into the steadfast relationship to Christ, or you've got the wrong angle. See? Now, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. In other words, the emphasis is on the Word or the message preached. your message shall forerun the second coming. Now notice, in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Now first of all, he saw seven candlesticks. What is it? He saw the bride through seven ages, pure gold. And in her was the voice that was to be listened to. Now then, no one else will listen to the voice that's in the bride but the bride. Because that's where the voice is. In the election. The redeemed, seven of them, seven church ages, coming in. Every branch is an age. And there are seven branches, seven ages here. Pure gold, gold of faith. And faith is a revelation. See? Now, after he saw the candlesticks, he saw one like to the Son of Man in the midst of the candlesticks. Now, in the Greek, the like unto the Son of Man also may be rendered who says the same things as. Now then, we've got seven men in the seven church ages because in the hands of the one that's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, Christ, the revealed word, are seven messengers or the authority of Christ on this earth in the bride. There is an authority in the bride and its seven church age messengers. I know people don't like that. Say, I got the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Listen, God forbid I should insult anybody, but let's pretend I'm talking to a bunch of heathen. See? The one who says the same things as is exactly what Jesus said in John 14. When he has come, he'll say exactly what I've said, and he won't say one word other than. Exactly that voice in the age. Now, those seven church age messengers are the seven stars. Now remember, in the Greek, the word star doesn't mean simply a light holder like we see in the heavens, a reflector, but it means the preeminent one amongst many like him. In other words, God is going to place seven ordinary men within the bride of Jesus Christ, one for every age, and he's going to be so ordinary, people will literally spit on him. Listen, in the church age, Paul was ridiculed by those who said they belonged to Christ and took issue against him. Why, they said his speech is contemptible. Why, they said pulpit instead of pulpit. Oh, yeah. He said he needs his... He shouldn't have forgotten his Ph.D. back there, but brought along with him. Yeah. Paul said, I count all that thing but dung. See, God takes the eagles off the dung heap. Takes the princes out of the same place. Because he wants to elevate him to Christ himself. Now, the seven stars are the seven messengers. Now, notice, in every church age, beginning in chapter 2, which only read a tiny bit of, it says here, unto the messenger, which is in the church of Ephesus, these things said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Now watch, he is revealing himself. Then he brings out the historical qualities of the age. Then he says in verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But notice, he's talking to one man who is the messenger. He's not talking to different men. He's not talking to two men and three men and four men. It's not a group of people that have a body ministry so we can all get together like latter rain has done. And I'm not thrown off them because I was amongst them. I didn't go very long with them, but I was amongst them for some time. And their idea was that if you all got together and pooled your so-called resources, you could come to a knowledge of truth. But there was just as much so-called truth as there were minutes of the day. And all you had was a dogfight, people fighting each other. There's got to be a preeminent one. An ordinary man that God puts the emphasis on. Now, that was in Ephesus. The next church age, verse 8, unto the messenger of the church which in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive. Now, what did he do? To every single messenger, he gave a divine revelation of himself, which is the word. Gave them the knowledge of the age, and then they gave the message, and the people heard it. He that hath an ear heard what the Spirit said by the voice of God in the bride, bringing forth the revealed faith of the hour to the people who listen. Now, how are you going to listen? My sheep hear my voice. Now, remember that Christ is the chief shepherd. Now, if there's chiefs, there's got to be Indians. There's a chief, there's got to be an Indian. I follow me? It's right. Who's the shepherd of every age? He has got to be this messenger in every single age. Now, we see, therefore, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ down through the church ages in the messenger until it comes to Revelation 3:14 under the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea. That's in a state of anarchy. People wanting their own rights. These things set the amen. It's all over. Alpha has become Omega. In other words, he's right back where he was. Christ right back in the fullness of a pure and chaste virgin of the Word. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, God creating himself in human flesh, is now about to bring all the rest of the election up out of the ground, where they will be in their recreated bodies, the living putting on immortality. Now, here is where we stand. The voice of Christ in every age is by the messenger in every age who brings forth the revealed word of the hour, and the people will be hearing that word. Now, then, the identification of a true spirit-filled believer will not be any different from what it was in the first age, which, as Paul was able to say in the first age, if you hear me, you're of God, and if you don't hear me, you are not of God. Where do you line up? See? Because he said when the Spirit came, he would lead you into all truth. Right? He would show you things to come. He would give you the ability to discern, to know the word of the hour. Yet how many people today, under the vindication that no man has had since the time of Jesus Christ, that's right, William Branham had vindication, you look in your history books. I've had the privilege of looking into some of them. And the best records I could get my hands on. And in those records, there is no ministry comparable to the ministry of William Branham. Absolutely none. When it came to the vindication, he's the only man that has produced, "Thus saith the Lord." You don't even find it under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, though he might have had it for all I know. You don't even find Jesus standing and say, "Thus saith the Lord." He merely spoke the word. He had it without saying it. But at the end time, that great one to come would have "thus saith the Lord," and it said, if you don't hear him, then you'll be destroyed from amongst the people. And that's end time destruction, and it takes place under the book of Acts, under the time of restoration. See? So, how many people identify themselves with an end time messenger? You say, well, bless God, I can identify myself with God because I believe so and so. Now look. You see, that's just exactly what they did in the days of Jesus. That's what they've done all along, is to identify themselves with that which was not the Word of God. Isn't it strange today how that everybody looks back upon two men? You know who those two men are? Luther and Wesley. Why? Now, people say, I can't believe that Luther really had the Word for his day, that he was really the messenger of that church age, because look at his life. How come he's got the preeminence nobody else has? Figure it out. Because God said that's what he would have. Now then, who's right, man or God? You look at Wesley. How about Whitfield? Great man of God. Great theologian. What about Fletcher? Young man, give his life for God, great man. But who had the preeminence? Wesley. The whole world knows it. They bear record to the fact that these men are the stars which started the restoration, which began in Reformation, which will end in complete restoration under the third church messenger, on the last Seventh-day church messenger, who is the third of the three angels. The last three great angels mentioned the Word of God. Even the world bears record to it. Now, let's go back to 1 John 2 again. 18 and 19. Little children, it's the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. You know what Antichrist is? Not against, although that's what happens. It's instead of. You've got a lot of people right now standing instead, whereby you know it's the last time. Listen, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest they were not all of us. In other words, there has to be an ingathering, and the ingathering is by the Word of God. It's by the Word. You say, what Word? The Word of the hour, because there's got to be a messenger. See? Now you check it out. What dealt the Roman Catholic Church this great blow?
Luther.
One man. Not a bunch of men, one man. You say, what about Zwingli? What about us? Well, what about him? What about him? They didn't amount to that. I'm not saying they didn't amount to anything now. I'm just talking in terms. Which one had the preeminence? Which one did God use?
Luther.
What about the men of Wesley's day? Great men of God, wonderful men.
Luther,
Wesley. See? They had him. Now, what man did God use in this day by proof that he was entitled to bring the word? It's only one man. You can't name Billy Graham, great man of God, but where's Billy Graham? when the showdown came with the heathen, where was he? He could kick his toe in the dust and walk off. When the showdown came with William Branham over there in India, which is really a great complex of heathen religion, all those men sat there, and Brother Branham sat there while they lectured him hour after hour, and then at night when it came his turn, he said, in the name of your gods, heal this man, and there wasn't one there who could do it. But when he spoke in the name of Jesus Christ, that man absolutely blind saw instantaneously. Now where's your showdown? See? There was the right. Now you say, Brother Bale, a while ago you said it wasn't miracles. That's right, it's not miracles. But there's a difference in miracles. We'll get to it in a minute. Now, you can see here from what we follow through in Scripture that God has ordained that the actual ministry of the Holy Spirit be that we are aware and in the understanding of Christ, the things of God in the hour in which we live. Now let's look at the thought then as to why, even though there is much Scripture on bearing fruit, that fruit bearing is not the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Not saying fruit bearing is not right now. See, nobody can ever say that because it is right. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And with this, of course, you read in 1 Corinthians how that love is the embodiment, is the embodiment of all of that fruit. Now, the point is this. What love is the evidence? That's what I want to know. You say love is the evidence. Then what love is the evidence? See? Now, when I talk about the evidence of the Holy Ghost, there's only one people that's identified, and that's those who believe the word of the hour. That's where you start and that's where you finish. But what about this on love? Let's check it out on love. In Romans, the 12th chapter, and the 9th verse, let love be without hypocrisy, the word dissimulation, hypocrisy. You know that you can manifest all the love in the world and be a perfect hypocrite in doing it? See? Patting people on the back in the name of Jesus and say, oh, don't worry, honey, God wouldn't blot out the West Coast. Why, he won't let Los Angeles go down. That great city where God has done so much and done so many things, and there's so many wonderful saints there. Now, come, honey. Why, God's a God of love, and he'll never blot that out. And, sister dear, what does it really matter if you cut your hair or not? What in the world has that got to do with it? Love. You can be an absolute hypocrite showing love. Sure. Last question. What's there to be a hypocrite about the word, though? Either believe you don't believe. You're no hypocrite. There's no place for faking it. You either got a revelation or you don't have a revelation. There's something only you and God know. You can't fool anybody. Nobody can fool you. You can't prove it and they can't prove you haven't. But you can come along and say, I know I got God because I got a lot of love, and you might not have a thing. Let's find out also about this thing called love. We go to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. Because, you see, here's what people say is the real evidence. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I got love. And love, of course, means meekness. You turn the cheek and all those things, and it looks very, very good, and it is very, very good. It's wonderful, and we're supposed to do it. But let's see if it's the evidence. 1 Peter 1 and chapter and verse 22, seeing you purified your souls. Now listen, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Now, if you don't have the truth, then you've got a feigned love. Sure, you got love, but it's not the real thing. How can any man have the real truth if he doesn't have the real word? Well, that's what it says here. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. No other way to get to the truth except by the Holy Ghost. No other way to know what you're doing even. You won't know right from wrong. And then it says here, with unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Why? Because you're born again. How? Not of corruptible seed, creeds and dogmas, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, if you're born again by the Word of God, then the Spirit that's in you is the very Spirit of that Word, and you'll be lining up to it. Now, then how can you talk about a church or a denomination when you want to bring souls into Jesus Christ? See, now, let's just look at this business of love and the fruit of the Spirit. There's a man called Nicodemus went to Jesus one night, and he said, Rabbi, we know you're a man sent from God, because nobody can do what you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, now just hold it right there. He said, I don't follow you. He said, could it be possible that you go back in your mother's womb and be born? He said, no. He said, you got to be born of water and spirit. That's how you get into the kingdom of heaven. Then he said to Nicodemus, you know, he said, no man has ascended up to heaven save he that came down out of heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And you know, Nicodemus sort of shook his head and he thought it over. And he said, now, no man hath the sin, but he that descended, even the... He said, you're trying to tell me, if I read you right, that you are controlling in heaven and in earth. And Jesus smiled and said, you're not far from the kingdom. That's what I'm telling you. And Nicodemus said, now, if you're controlling in heaven and earth, because even the Son of Man which is, and I'm watching you right here, you're telling me that the power of God is centered in you, and though I'm looking at a man, I'm actually seeing God veiled in flesh, something like happened to Abraham. He said, oh, how astute you are, Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, now, you wouldn't be telling me that you are Jehovah. He said, I am. He said, you wouldn't be telling me that you're Elohim. He said, I am. All things are made by me. He said, that's interesting. He said, why is it interesting? Well, he said, because there are certain things that you are supposed to have said. Like, I am to love you with all my heart and all my soul. Now, he said, that's very nice from your side. But what kind of treatment do I get from my side? Well, he said, I reciprocate because I am love. Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. The pure election, I have loved. Yeah, you didn't ask for a thing, Nicodemus. But you see, I'm choosing. Your brother might have been a finer man than you, but I want you. Zacchaeus might have looked 10 times as good as Zacchaeus, but I picked Zacchaeus. Well, Nicodemus thought that over, and he said, you know, I have a little something I'd like to ask you, if you'd let me do it. He said, yes, I think I could grant your request. Well, he said, my request is to let me follow you around and watch how you act. Because if I can see you act and you say who you are, then I got a pretty good idea what God's all about. What love is about. Especially what I have a good idea of you in relationship to man. And I would think the Lord would smile and say, Nicodemus, you are very, very astute. You must come around and watch. And then you will see how God is. Now here's how you read your gospel. Because remember, God was indwelling Jesus. And Nicodemus saw this man break the loaves and fishes to 5,000. Twice. He saw him raise the dead. Right. He saw him calm the waters. He saw him turn water into wine. He saw him do great things. But remember, what he saw would never give him the true revelation of God, because he saw a man who would go to a pool where other people lay in worse condition than one fellow with maybe arthritis, and say, sir, do you want to get healed? And the man said, I want to get healed, but every time I try to get down that water, somebody beats me to it. He said, take up your bed and walk. Now, what kind of a God is it who will heal or raise from the dead one widow's son, one man's daughter, feed a few thousand, and yet being God, who created every single thing there is to create, has been created, and who's absolute sovereign, who knows what's going on, and nothing without his divine permission and protection, would still raise one man when there's hundreds of thousands he won't raise. Now, where's your love? What kind of a God is it who went to the temple, and he told those men there, and they were changing money and selling animals. It's right in the book. It's either Deuteronomy or Leviticus. Deuteronomy, I think it is. He said, if the place where you worship is too far, where you cannot bring the first fruit, and you cannot bring the sacrificial animals, you sell them and take the money, and then when you get there, you buy what your soul lusts for, and there you'll make a sacrifice and partake unto the Lord your God. And here those men were actually doing what God laid down for them to do. Yes, sir. And he braids some rope, and oh, how that stuff cuts. You know, you've been cut by paper and by twine. Oh, it's a miserable, mean cut. And he just took and whipped those guys, and he lashed them until their arms were in big red welts, and maybe their throats in a big red welt. And he went, boom, kicked their table over, scattered that money all around the village. And he said, get out, you bunch of robbers and thieves, get out. Now, that's your demonstration of love and consideration and meekness and kindness. I'm not suggesting you and I are meant to do that. But I'm just suggesting that you remember that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, and everything that's recorded here in the Gospels is an actual record of God doing it. Now listen to me. Why did he chase those men out? Not for what they were doing, but the key lies in the words that he said, you have made my house a house of merchandise, and you yourselves are thieves and robbers. And remember, a thief and a robber is one who enters into the fold in another way except by the door. And here those men that were claiming to fulfill the Word of God by revelation were out to kill the very manifestation of the Word of the hour. And you know what he did? He indicted them. See? Now, get the picture. They were doing the will of God without a revelation, and their worship was without the revelation of true faith. Now, here's where we stand, brother, sister. I don't care what you and I do as an act of love. I don't care what you and I may think we ought to do as an act of love, unless it is solidly based upon the Word of Almighty God, so that the motives are one with that Word, then it is not an act of love. Today we've got such pseudo-psychologists to sicken you. The Bible said don't spare the rod and don't spare the child. And don't let your eye pity and don't let your arm give out. It also says something about beating the devil out of him, because that's true too. There's a lot of devils could get into a kid and a lot of them kept out if you just kept the kid under control. But today you've got that pseudo-psychology that says you are not to keep government in the house until today. We've got a place where the women have risen up against the men. And remember, those women are not in the image of God. They are in the image of man, and man is in the image of God. And they still rise up against the authority of the household, even as the kids do. And preachers preach it as love, and men talk about it as love. And they don't understand they're both going down that primrose path to hell. Brother, sister, unless our very actions, our meekness, and our consideration, and our temperance, and our goodness, and our faith is solidly based upon the Word of God, it will not save us. And it is no evidence of the Holy Ghost. What evidence can it be of the Holy Ghost to misinterpret the Word of God when Paul said, if we believe that God raised Jesus and God raised him not, you make God a liar and your faith is vain. The Bible also speaks of reprobate faith. From corrupt minds. And a corrupt mind is that which takes the Word of God and mishandles it or misinterprets it or misplaces it. Now then, where's your evidence of the fruit? There isn't any. I can get you a Christian Science that shows great love. Get you a Unity that shows great love. In fact, why is India the graveyard of missionaries? I never have been there to find out, but I've been told on good authority and seen men that came back absolutely shaken in their souls to see what some men in India would do in the name of their God for love. Such a spirit of meekness and quietness and abnegation. Such a spirit of tolerance and love. Such a willingness to humble themselves and take the lower position. But they had no more use for the Word of God than anything. Unless the fruit of the Spirit, as we have read by Scripture, comes out of the Word of God. In other words, unless the character of a man, because fruit is character, unless that character is from that Word, there is no hope. As Brother Branham said, a great theologian came to me this last week, and he said, Brother Branham, that great thing we're looking for is character. He said, it is not character. Does Brother Branham mean we're to live like a bunch of hogs? No. You live like sheep. But it's not the character, brother, sister. It's one with that Word that'll bring the character. See? Now, let's look a little further. Let's look at the super manifestation as found in tongues as an evidence, and that's the gift of spirit. Now, the one I said they use is over here in Acts 10, the 44 to 46. This may sound like a tough one, but let's just look at it. Find out. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the Gentiles also was part of the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? These should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Now notice in verse 15 of chapter 11, and as I began to speak to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, what chapter goes between this and chapter 2 in the fourth verse? It's the chapter where they went down to Samaria and hands were laid on them to receive the Holy Ghost. And there is not one mention of tongues. What is this? This is simply a direct outpouring of the Holy Ghost without the laying on of hands. And remember, these men heard the word, and the Holy Ghost fell, and they spake with tongues. It does not say it is the evidence, because it is merely the historical account of how the Holy Ghost was given. Because he was not given with speaking in tongues in Samaria, nor was he given with speaking in tongues concerning Paul. Tongues is a gift. And there is no place in the Bible where it says that tongues is given as a gift as evidence. No place. Now, let's also look at this. Peter said the Holy Ghost was given and they knew it was poured out upon the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, let's go back to Acts 2 a minute. Let's not just take some of the scripture on this subject. Let's take all of it. Not isolate any, but read it all. The second chapter. These men are not drunken as you suppose when they said, what is this? Now notice verse 16. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. All. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see visions. Your young men see visions, your old men dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens. Two groups of people. When? The same spirit falling at the end time upon anybody and everybody, but at the beginning it was not so. It wasn't so. At the end time, anybody can be anointed. Matthew 24, 24. Matthew 7, about 15 to 23. See? Hebrews 6, 4 to 10. All through Scripture. You can find at the end time there is an anointing that only the very elected will not be deceived. And that word elect comes from a very special combination of Greek, ek and logos. Those who come up by the word. See? But in here, there was no such thing as a church that was defiled. Any manifestation was pure. You couldn't even find a soul that tried to be part of them that was a hypocrite. The Bible said they sat in Solomon's porch and no man durst join himself. And when a couple of hypocrites came along, they were killed and carted out. The bride of Christ at the beginning was a spotless virgin with every manifestation in order. Certainly, if there was tongues, it was real. Certainly, if there's prophecy, it was real. If there was a word of knowledge, there was real. Everything was real. The church was absolutely pure because Paul said it was. She was a virgin. She carried no seed of anything but Christ. Now, here's that early church in the days of Peter that's got the keys to open both doors, Jew and Gentile. Now, God says, go on down to Gentile. So what does Peter do? He goes on down to Gentile. The Holy Ghost falls. He has already fallen when they speak in tongues. They're already filled. See? Peter knows then that here is a manifestation which will be genuine because at the end time only could that manifestation fall on anybody. See? He also sees that the Holy Ghost is poured out identical as it was to him. It also, watch now, accompanies the Word. Now what's important then? The gift of tongues of the Word of God. That's the people overlook. They get to talking about tongues, manifestation. What about that Word? What about the word of the hour? Were they in the word of the hour? They were the word of the hour, because they were the first fulfillment of the promise to Abraham that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And though Israel knew it, and Peter preached it on Pentecost, and the day after Pentecost, the third chapter and so on, when Peter came to preaching it, remember, there was a difference when he came face to face with it. When that word was manifested, what happened? He saw the thing brought into full manifestation, and he said, I believe that.
See?
What was it? It followed the word. Tongues came with the word. It came because they believed. They were elected. There was a manifestation. There wasn't in Samaria. There was some in Ephesus. There is no scripture that says the tongues is that evidence, because this evidence also can be counterfeited. For this manifestation. What about devil speaking in tongues? Now let's have a meeting. We'll have a meeting like they had in Montreal. Dr. Clifton, he's gone now, but was a very brilliant linguist. Understood about seven languages, spoke fluently. In a Pentecostal meeting, he heard five different tongues that he understood. Two were praising God, and three were cursing horribly. It all went for the Holy Ghost. See? What about signs and wonders? What about that witch doctor that can bring about a healing? What about those people that deny the very virgin birth of Jesus Christ and the blood of Almighty God? And they can bring it about. Now listen. As in Corinth, they stood with the word. As at Pentecost, they stood with the word. As in Ephesus, they stood with the word. As Jesus said they would do it, and as Paul said they would do it, that is your earmark. Do you stand with the word? Not the manifestation you see. Manifestation's fine. We're not against genuine manifestation. Never been against it. Certainly there's genuine tongues. Certainly there's genuine prophecy. Certainly there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that are manifested in a miraculous way. Certainly there, as Irenaeus said, there's hundreds of ministries or gifts in the body of Jesus Christ. But that's not it. It's being with the word of the hour, because that's what the scripture teaches. And then how can men say they've got the Holy Ghost manifesting in tongues, interpretation, and in divers gifts and refuse the word of the hour? See, because there's your key. Every single time when the word was preached, the identification lay with the word. No place else. What are we going to do? But people don't believe that. Now, let's consider, because our time's going rapidly, consider soul winning. Let's find out, is soul winning and witnessing, is that a mark of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, and find out. Many scripture on this, but I won't go through them all. Galatians, the fourth chapter, 22 to 31. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman by the promise. Which things are an allegory? An extended parable. So I'm going to tell you a story now. It's got a spiritual truth. It's right in the church. Paul speaking to the Galatians. Now Israel's down there, but so are the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are coming in now, and God has blinded Israel, so they've turned away. He's talking now to the church that has both Jew and Gentile, but the Gentiles are becoming predominant. But he's going to the Old Testament. He said there's an allegory, which are two covenants. There's two covenants now. One from Mount Sinai. Moses gave the law. And that genders the bondage, which is Hagar. And Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. A church system. See, that's been left. God's moved on. Where has he moved to? He's moved to a new Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is our mother. Not the mother of us all. That's a mistranslation, because remember, God is not the father of all, and new Jerusalem not the mother of all. It's only the elect. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Who's that? That's Sarah. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. See? That's Sarah. For the desolate, now who's desolate? See? Hath many more than she which hath a husband. So who's desolate? Hagar. But what about her children? Just everywhere. Thick as hair on a dog's back. Cover the earth like sand. Now we brethren, as Isaac, are the children of the promise. Now Hagar had a child by promise too. General promise, be fruitful and multiply. Just a general promise. Got a covenant. Here's a very covenant with God. Now we brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise, but as he then that was born of the flesh persecuted him that was born out of spirit, and remember, who's the multitude? She that doesn't have a husband. Now God said, I am not the husband to the church that's got the great majority. I am a husband to the church that has the minority. Got a small number. See? I am the husband of the bride who is made up of the word of promise. Now who do you belong to this morning? You got your choice. You've got a covenant. You can belong to the worldly church, or you can belong to the true church, the bride. You can come by the flesh, or you can come by the word of God. Now how are you coming? You can come like people do today and get the Holy Ghost so-called with anointing. You can come by a false creed or a dogma. You can come right into their church. You can have an experience. Sure you can. Peter's now listen. With this Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible sperm, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now he doesn't say, just get born again. He said, be careful how you're born again. That's right. What does a rebirth mean? A rebirth in the human mind means that the fellow has a new start in life. Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was a drunkard, now I don't drink. Once I was a destroyer of people, now I don't destroy. Once I was wicked in my concept, now I try to be righteous. Now you can get born. You can get born right into a church system. And you can show all kinds of evidence that you've been born again. Now, the word repentance means change of mind. Now, let's just show you how a man can get born again right out here in the world. Here's a good old boy, so to speak, and he's been drinking maybe for 35 years, and now his arteries are hard, his kidneys are shot, and his liver's all hard, and he's ready to go on the way out. He's blowing his stack at his wife and family, and he's been a real abuser of himself and mankind, and it's just been a real mountebank. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor said, brother, he said, you're shot. He said, what do you mean, doc? He said, look, you've drunk all these years, but he said, now you're finished. He said, one more drink. One more cigarette, one more blowing your stack, one more abuse in your life. He said, you could be gone. He said, you mean that, Doc? He said, as sure as I sit here, I stand here with you. He said, I've seen hundreds of men like you. And he said, you're gone. He said, do I have a chance? He said, you got one chance, no more. He said, not one more drink? He said, not one more drink. And he said, but what about when pressure comes? He said, you don't dare lose your temper. He said, break your blood vessels, you're gone. Well, he said, what about a cigar to calm my nerves? He said, not a chance. Give you a little relaxer to help you. And that's it. And you know what? The guy goes home converted. He goes home saved. He's born again. From now on, he walks that straight and narrow line. He doesn't cuss anymore. He doesn't drink anymore. He doesn't flare up anymore. You know why? Because he's afraid. He's got a complete life change. He's no more born again, bless God, than a sow turns into a sheep. He never went to church to get it. You see where we stand this morning? Where's your evidence? See? Where's your evidence? What are you identified with? The Bible lays it all out here this morning and shows you what it is, the evidence that we're to look for. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is to be identified with the word of the hour. See? Because he said when he has come, he will take the things of man and show it unto you. And how in the world can he be one God and people say they got the Holy Ghost and believe in three gods? Just the other day, just out in California, I wasn't arguing with a friend of mine, but just they were trying to show me that people had to have the Holy Ghost because certain things were going on. I said, now hold it right there. I said, look, you've understood the truth of one God for a long time. You preached it. And you've understood that baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was the only right way. You know why. Now, I said, if the Holy Ghost wrote that book and a man claims to have the Holy Ghost, how can he be in direct disobedience to the word of Almighty God and claim the Bible says contrary to what it says? And I said, then don't tell me the person's got the Holy Ghost because he couldn't have the Holy Ghost. They said, what about the years gone by? I said, God winked at ignorance. God always has and always will wink at ignorance because the Bible said they without the gospel are judged without the gospel. But he that hath an ear will hear what the Spirit says. Now, if you haven't got the Spirit and you haven't got an ear, you won't hear what he says. There is an identification with the word of the hour. Now, brother, sister, in what age do we live? We live in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Is that right? Who's he talking to? The church. I want to ask you a question. Did Abraham put his divine seal of approval on homosexuality? Did he? He did not. Did Lot? He did not, but he tolerated it. You've got the same thing right today. You've got the rotten worldly church that puts a seal upon it, and you've got the rest that tolerate it. And you've got those that'll have no truck and trade at it. They'll stand away from it. You've got the same thing going on as in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they had a peculiar condition. The same thing exists today. But in Noah's day, as there was in Lot's day, there was a prophet. Every age has had its messenger. Every age has had the truth. And this age has the last revelation. Now listen, you believe that Brother Branham was a prophet? You believe that he was because he had thus said the Lord. Now listen to what he said. The unveiling of the mighty God. Nothing outside of the message will come to life. Now you can walk out now and forget you ever heard the truth, or you can take a stand for it. You say, Brother Bale, my friends, you don't like it? Why don't you pull God down out of heaven and beat him with a club? I'm being ridiculous on purpose. I mean to be. See, people claim to believe God and say they're one of his, but when the truth comes bare, then they turn it down. They know more than God. I got a very dear friend who believes this message from the inside out and the outside in, but there was a time when he used to ask questions. So I said, okay, bud, where's your vindication? I said, you know I've had a whole lot more than you, and I ain't got none. Yeah. I don't have any. I said, can you produce one, thus saith the Lord? He said, no. And I said, you better believe the fellow that can. What kind of a God is there who would allow a man to say, thus saith the Lord, and then that very thus saith the Lord be brought to pass, and he not be God's man? I want to know. I want to know what kind of a God it is. I couldn't respect a God who double-dealt me. Yet this man said nothing outside the message will come to life. You know why? Corrupt seed. Spoken word. You can only serve God as... Now listen, here's your winning souls and here's your fruit bearing. Here's your loving your fellow man. You can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends. It's the book of Revelation. You can only serve God on earth, see, as God's servants are sent on earth by divine inspiration, interpret the word to you. Remember the other night when I talked to you about that altar that Israel thought the other two tribes were building on the other side of Jordan? And they said, if that's an altar to God, we'll kill them. We'll blot, though they be our brothers, we'll blot them out and leave neither hide nor hair. We'll blot out sin from amongst us. Why? Because they're attempting to worship God outside the framework of the word. Now, how then are you going to worship and serve God outside the way God brought it? Seven church ages. Now, we've been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives. Question and answers. There's only one evidence of the Holy Spirit that I know of, and that's a genuine faith in the promised word of the hour. Feast of the Trumpets. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself by the Scripture. Making the Scripture that's been predestinated to this day like it was to that day and all other days live. And to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. What else could a prophet of God say? Isn't that what Paul said? Well, what else could he say? That's your evidence. Easter seal. But the real true quickening spirit that comes to a believer quickens him to God's word. When the quickening, that's a Pentecost, took place, they were not afraid to make a witness of the message that they believed and knew to be the truth. Otherwise, they were afraid of it. How can you be afraid and ashamed of the word? Also, Feast of Trumpets, I think it is, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. When God reveals to you and you see it, thus saith the Lord, and accept it. How many want to walk in thus saith the Lord? How many have their own ideas still hanging on, see? So I believe it this way. What about when Brother Branham set the church in order? And they said, we want it our way. Listen, it's what God has done for you now. That's the evidence. Is that right? Check it back to Jesus. He was on earth. He was gone. Sure he was. He told him he's God and he was God. The word of the hour. The word made flesh. Now how many received him? He said, my sheep hear my voice. What's the voice of God? The revealed word in every age. A messenger in every age and in every generation, God has faithful men who take that message out until one day the last elected seed is brought in, identified by that word. Even history proves it. Study your histories. Messenger bringing the word and people coming to that word. Not signs and wonders. They're fine. We don't go against signs and wonders. Everybody that's healed, God healed them. The devil doesn't heal. Certainly. Nobody doubts that. Miracles, we're not against them. God does them. That's right. Fruit? How can a person say he's a Christian and not do his very best to walk motivated by the very word of God? Nobody's against it. Every scripture these people have said is right. It deals with the subject. What is the evidence? Be identified with the word of the hour. There's where we stand. Now, before I let you go, I want to say something very, very important. And that's this. How do I receive the Holy Ghost? Not by speaking in tongues. Not that if you spoke in tongues, nobody's going to ostracize you. No. That's not the evidence. Can't. What about love? Well, you can have that without being born again. A lot of people have that. And how do I receive the Holy Ghost? Brother Branham told you how. You are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Step number one. After you repent of your sins. See? Secondly, you have hands laid upon you by the elders or those that are ministering or good faithful brothers. I wouldn't draw a line on anybody that's a real, true, faithful servant of God to lay hands on anybody else. But that's what the Bible says, to have hands laid on you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now by faith, this being your tie post, the hour of your commitment to God is where you go forward, never doubting, never turning back from that moment, but believe that you have received Him. Because God can't lie. See, people always want to look for that great supernatural something. See, that's what's wrong. It's not physical evidence. It's not sensation. That's absolutely not so. See, hands laid on you. Don't you ever turn back. Don't ever have one doubt. This is it. Just keep walking right on. God is faithful. I had hands laid on me. I believe I have received the Holy Ghost because I've obeyed His word. And you walk right up into the fullness of the Spirit. That's why Brother Branham in one place called it a growth. So didn't Brother Branham say that a woman couldn't know she had a baby unless she was anesthetized? And didn't he compare that to having the Holy Ghost? That's true. But he didn't say your experience would have sensation. And when those who came to him, he often said, Lord, this one can't believe without they feel they got something a little extra. And he, in mercy, prayed. But to the bride, he said, you don't have a sensation. You don't have an evidence, meaning physical. He said, you have hands laid on you. How many are willing to do that? Not too many. Now this morning, you that don't know if you have the Holy Spirit or not, or you that want prayer for your body. Now this may take a while, but we're here. If there's no service tonight, that's fine by me. We're not here to play church. As you're talking to Brother Harold this morning, one of the things that has been kind of hurt us all was going to Jeffersonville. And with strangers from out of town, we had to go and eat, and therefore we had a lot of fraternizing. And We waited for the meeting to get over and went and ate. Today, I want you to forget about your food. We're not worried about when we eat, if we eat at all. We're here on purpose. And this message was given for one reason, for you that don't know if you've got the Holy Ghost, to have hands laid on you. But don't you dare, unless you're willing to believe, that from this moment, you believe that you have received, and you walk right into an absolute, genuine reality. And you say, Brother Bale, did Brother Branham do that? Listen, I'm not going to name names, brother, sister, but if I wanted to, I could. And I can tell you where Brother Branham laid hands upon a man that he loved, and he categorically stated that that man had received the Holy Ghost. That man didn't even believe he had received the Holy Ghost. Are you looking for a sensation? You're looking for the Word of God. I want you very sober and sincere at this moment, brother, sister, because I wish it had been my lot to stand before the prophet of God before I ever came up any other way. I wish I could have been one of those who heard him preach and answered that call and understood this word, at least in measures you understand it today, and have the privilege to have him lay hands on me and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. And have that man believe. Because what else could he do? Because that's what he's supposed to do, is believe, or he wouldn't have done it. And then walk away. That being my tie post. That because of my faith, believing, I would absolutely come into the fullness. You follow me now what we're talking about? How do I receive the Holy Ghost? Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Hands are laid on you. And at that moment, you believe, and without a backward glance, never again doubting. Because you see, you made your start on thus saith the Lord. That's the whole thing. Not what I got to say, but what the prophet said. What it was proved. No backward glance. You'll come in to the fullness of what you're looking for. But you're not going to come the way the other ages or somebody else said it. Not going to be looking for the great dynamic. Do you follow me now? Because this is what he taught. This is what he did. He didn't say, now speak in tongues. Didn't say, now jump up and down. He didn't say, now if I see a lot of manifestation, I'm going to believe you got it. He didn't say, I'm looking for love or the fruit. Didn't say, I'm looking for gifts. He stayed with the Word. Is this understood? Now, if you want something else, you're in the wrong pew, the wrong church. This is what the prophet did. You follow me? You believe me? I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. See? No turning now. Don't come back next week and say, I didn't get a thing, I'll try something else. No. Now it's the same with healing. See? Lady dying of cancer, when Brother Branham preached to see us, she shouldn't even seen him, because he was going to go early the next morning. Remember he told us he'd be gone real early in the morning? That Monday morning? He didn't go. God wouldn't let him go. God kept him hanging around the tabernacle. And they said, Sister Murray, he's in town, but you won't get to see him. We can't find him. The Lord says, you go down to that tabernacle and sit in that car. And she sat outside that tabernacle in that car. And he came over and talked to her. And he said, Sister, you're dying of cancer. You haven't got a chance. That's right, you didn't have a chance. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. And when I do, I don't want you to look back. I don't want you to even think of it again. Just put it out of your mind. Sister Murray is 100% well. Are you willing to do that this morning? See, it's not the prophet being here that counts. It's what he said that counts. Will you put it out of your mind? Are you willing to come? No more doubts. You say, this is my tie post. Now, this is a big step, because this is life or death for you who haven't the Holy Spirit. but you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is life and death for you in the realm of the eternal. And for you who are sick, it means the difference between getting better and not getting better. But can you walk up today just on that word? See, that's what he taught. That's what he did. And there's nothing else that you and I can do but to believe it. Shall we rise at this time? Heavenly Father, you know, Lord, I've done my best to stick with what the prophet said. Quoted as many quotes as I could of actually what he said. And knowing how he did it. And Lord, for those who might expect tremendous emotion and some type of tremendous manifestation, and indeed, if that had been necessary, then your prophet would not have been that calm, collected, solid in the faith little prophet that we saw in such unagitated control. There he stood. When he prayed for the sick, even commanding devils to go, it wasn't with much emphasis and great outpouring of words, but he just did what you told him to do. And when he laid hands on those to receive the Holy Ghost, which is a matter of being in Christ or not in Christ, he simply laid hands on them, and he believed you. He never looked for one bit of evidence in himself or in them. But he stood and said, that person received the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, we've been a people that you know so well have had the emotional background in the majority of us. We're a lot like Israel that enjoyed the signs and had a difficulty with the word. Now, Lord, today we want to be Calebs and Joshuas who are willing to walk right into the promises of God by sheer, unadulterated faith. Just as Brother Branham said, nothing supernatural, just stand up and come to it. Now, Lord, help those today in whom it's a matter of life and death, as we sort of put it, the best we can, concerning the baptism with the Holy Ghost, that they're willing to be a Joshua and Caleb. They've seen enough signs and wonders. They know enough of what's happened. They've got the witness by seeing and by hearing. They know. And Lord, they're willing this morning to come right up to Canaan land and walk right in where the giants are and just take over. They've got a promise. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the same with those, Lord, that come for healing. And they need something from you, Lord, to change their bodies and make them have the health that your word says they can have, because you said who healeth all the diseases as well as forgives all the iniquity. Lord, this morning they too can do the same thing, because I know, Lord, to receive the Holy Ghost is a million more times important to have a million healings. And therefore, Lord, if those of us who haven't received the Holy Ghost can come on that same premise, that same promise, the Word of God, and those who need a healing can do the same thing. Now, Lord, in this very solemn moment, I'm the least one here prepared to lay hands upon anybody, but we're not looking at people this morning. We're looking to you, Lord. You just said have hands, the hands laid upon them. And that goes for those that are ministering, doing the very best they can. Oh, Lord, my God, help now, I pray, in this crucial moment where people's faith are raised by the Word of God. You said it. Your prophet told us. It was proven that he was right. They can come just like he said, and you'll back up your word. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want you to just think a minute before we give the invitation for you to come away. Maybe a little confusing for a while, but it's all right. We do our best in a jam position. We're not worried at all about crowds and how we get around. We're here for one thing. That's to do what we can for you. Just examine your heart a minute. Is there something else you'd sooner rest upon than the revealed word of the prophet? Is there something else you'd sooner put your trust in? If you can say, no, Brother Vail, I'll be honest with you. That's what I'm really trying to do now, is to put my trust in what he said. Then this is your opportunity. If you confess your sin, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll lay hands on you just what, that's all. Because that's all there is to do. You see, if you've done the first two things, and God made perfect in three, he'll do the last one, which is fill you with the Holy Ghost. There's no other way. All right? Just let's come as easy as we can. Rest remain praying quietly. Brother Johnson, you come with me. Just tell me what your heart's desire is, what you're looking for. And if you want to get out easy, you can go to the side door. But I feel the presence of God this morning. I'm unworthy. But I believe God, not the servant. I'm the servant. Don't believe me. Believe him. Believe the word, Brother Johnson. Father God, honest brother coming to receive the Holy Ghost. Oh God, not basing any hope now in any spiritual path, but the word of God vindicated my brother in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Ghost. Lord, I believe you that you'll touch our brother in need of breathing in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, we lay hands upon you, faith in what the messenger said. They shall receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost. Brother, I believe you. Brother Neil, having been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, the hands of my receiving you the Holy Ghost. Whenever I look back, my brother, God answered your prayer. Brother, be the hands upon me in the Lord Jesus Christ, having been baptized in his name. Brother, receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, brother. I love it. God's guilty word. Amen. All right, hope. Heavenly Father, lay hands upon our sister, having been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ and receive your healing in Jesus' name. I've never looked back now. Brother, lay hands upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might receive the Holy Ghost according to the Word of God. Receive the Holy Ghost and never look back. It's the fullness of the Spirit you shall go. I believe God doing it, but I said, don't go by feeling, but by faith. Amen. For our sister now, everyone pray with me. Our sister had a terrible time in her back. Only a miracle of God will do this, but I believe in the God of miracles. Be here this morning in Jesus' mighty name where the Spirit of God is. We're obeying you, Lord, now. In Jesus' name, first the affliction now, let it be loose from her. And let the dust back to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I believe it, sister. And can't tell how it'll be. Heavenly Father, there's only one person who can live the life, and that's you, Lord, and that Jesus in loving Father, in Jesus' name. I said to receive the Holy Ghost now, oh God, and let her show it forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing also for somebody, a Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for our sister Jean and our brother Stanley. Let her be healed of her infirmity now, and go hand for it upon her Jesus. See, brother, receive the Holy Ghost. And don't doubt and never look back at the prophet. Amen. Heavenly Father, our dear brother here, oh God, anoint him, fill him with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, to receive the Spirit of God. Amen. Spirit, very present and fresh. Praise the Lord. Lay hands upon our sister that she might be filled with the Spirit, according to what the prophet said, to lay hands upon him, and they would, oh God, in Jesus' name, lay hands upon her sister, fill her with the Holy Ghost, and she would be filled with the Spirit.
Christ. No cabin time. Walk right on. Into the body. Gracious Heavenly Father, here is your child, healing for her body. For you have laid hands upon the sick and they will recover. In Jesus' name, we curse the affliction. Let it no longer abide. Satan, your work is undone. In the name of Jesus Christ, come into the prayer of other people's wrong, because faith doesn't. Yes. Heavenly Father, our sister, he is sick, blessed Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, fill her with the Holy Ghost, we pray. Receive the Spirit, O God, and our Lord in Jesus' name, O sister, and may he heal your body now, and may you give you with hope. Remember the Spirit of God's goodness. Brother Grant said that, just go your way, and you can live very well. Yeah. Gracious Heavenly Father, lay hands upon our sister in Jesus' name, that she might receive the Holy Ghost, and also pray for sister in Jesus' name. May you receive the Holy Ghost and make you assured. By the glory of God, may all sinners be their bodies. Sanctify the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And lay hands on our sister to the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you know my sister's heart. In obedience to what we were taught, and this offer you in your obeying in Jesus' name, you receive the Holy Ghost. Don't tell in your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pray for our little sister. Father, our little sister here. You said something little German to us and you can forbid them not. Lord, we don't forbid her. We welcome her in Jesus' name that she be healed. May the affliction leave her body in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, Lord, you little German all over there. There we go. Amen. Heavenly Father, lay hands upon our sister. Sister, pardon you for your faith, for he is the love of God, and he was vindicated. We lay hands upon you in Jesus' name. Receive the Spirit of God, and may quicken your body in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is what is the answer to your prayer. Praise the Lord. Yes. Father, lay hands upon our sister. Find obedience of faith as the prophet taught us. Lay hands upon it. In Jesus' name, to receive the Holy Ghost. Listen to your Bible. Never turn back, but be in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's only one seal, that's the Holy Spirit Himself. Father, our sister wants to be sealed in. She wants a surety. We know there's only one surety, and that's you yourself. Come into this vessel in the name of Jesus Christ, sister. Receive the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Father, we pray for our sister fathers. And may that same Spirit of God, that quickening power of the prophet Lord, quicken her mortal body in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we lay hands upon our dear sister, that she might receive the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, receive the Spirit of God by faith. And it's a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, lay hands upon our brother, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Oh God, what a great and terrible thing this is to do, Lord. But how true your word is that you do it. Fill him with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, Lord. And lay in your name, brother. Praise God. Father, you said some of the children come. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, say, lay hands upon your little sister, receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I believe. Father, in Jesus' name, what a privilege it is to know there is bond and getting of the sacred Israel. Now, Lord, here is his vessel. Help him, Lord, now, with his child faith to see this is the title. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the affliction that he roots his mold of his body and come out of him, and then he'll be absolutely normal for the glory of Almighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love Christian. Heavenly Father, the child in order cometh with us for the bread. The children's bread, Lord. Satan, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ to take authority over the high blood pressure and the children's out of her. Jesus. You have no power over the flesh because this is the vessel of the Holy Ghost. The temple of God. In Jesus' name. Now be about me just when he asked me. I really read that, so don't doubt me. Lord Jesus, we know, Lord, there is nothing that we cannot do. And you said that we are able to think good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost? Better, Jesus, we pray that this minute and Lord God, Peter, as a chosen vessel unto thyself, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With all my heart. Okay, the baptism and for a chronic infection in the throat. Gracious Heavenly Father, how chronic is the sin, Lord? We would have carried sin for years and years and then died with it. And how chronic is sickness be? But if you made a cure for sin, you made a cure for sickness. I don't care how long standing, in Jesus' name, Lord. So let it be full of the Holy Ghost, and even now, with the feeling to be healed of the chronic infection. In the name of Jesus Christ, lift up his hand. I believe with all my heart. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, for our little sister here, oh God, we pray that the Spirit will fill her, Lord Jesus, now and anoint her for healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that. Amen. That's great to have such faith. Yes, amen. Heavenly Father, how true it is, Lord, that you respect those you respect. Oh, Jesus, fill her with the Holy Ghost, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And may God and the neighbor know it for the glory of God. Amen. I mean that. All my heart. Let us speak on. Heavenly Father, that our sister might receive the Holy Ghost, we obey your command. Lay your hands upon him in Jesus' name, sister, and faith in the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the privilege, Lord, of filling believers in this hour. Jesus' name, with the Holy Ghost, we pray, O God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father God, what a privilege, Lord. Any hour of the day, any year of our lives to come, oh God, in Jesus' name, you may hands on her, may she receive the Spirit of God. Send her, receive the Holy Spirit. Don't doubt in your heart. Amen. And never look back. That's the way we've gone now. Amen. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we lay hands upon our brother, Lord, according to the Word of God. Demonstrate the Lord, vindicated by the Father. In Jesus' name, brother, receive the Holy Ghost. Stand forth in your faith. Amen.
Thank you for your good support in prayer and faith. Now remember that this is what the prophet taught. You and I have been going contrary to his teaching maybe for as much as a quarter century. Now I admit that I had. That's the way I was taught. But today we are living in a divine revelation. We're not living in what we think is right. We're living in what we know is right. Now, brother, sister, there's no place else to go. If this isn't it, remember, if this is not it, you're finished. You had it. Because he said, this is what you do. This is what he did. I know it by experience, and some of you here today also know it by experience. When he laid hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost, that was it. He didn't say, now look, maybe we're going to do something else. This doesn't work. We'll try another way. Brother Branham wasn't that kind of a man. Neither can we be. Now, there's no other way to go, brother, sister, but up. There's no place to go but forward. See? We don't go by feelings, don't go by a thing. This is your typos. This is your committal. No matter somebody else teaching said, now look, I had an experience down the road, and I'd like you to have my experience, don't you pay one bit of attention. Now, that may sound like I'm trying to put you on the spot to get you my way. I'm not trying to get you my way. I'm trying to get you God's way. Remember the type of kid, do you remember that the Joshua parallels Ephesians? And remember, they went into that land by sheer faith. And those that refused to believe the word of God died.
Now, remember, Moses didn't say, now, Joshua and Caleb, I'm going to give you a secret sword. And then one of you is going to get the atomic bomb, the other is going to get the hydrogen bomb. And between the two of you, you're going to do great wonders. They went in the same way. 12 went in the same way. They all 12 went with the Word of God, and 10 went back on it. You hear me? That's right. Don't think for one minute that you've got something second rate, that you've got something that doesn't work. You've got the one thing that God and God alone will back up and nothing else, and that's His Word. And you've obeyed it. Now remember, don't look any way but the way He taught or you will run afoul. Now, listen, believe me out of my heart, I'm telling you the truth, because I know a great man that came to Brother Branham, and he wouldn't believe, he wasn't satisfied. I won't tell you a story, but where is he today? Not even doing what he used to do, which is preach the sweet gospel. He's got some kind of a harmonious money gospel. Because he got left a big bunch of money, and now he's trying to bring people up to Christ by, you know, the rice bowl system. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings here. See, I'm not trying to. I don't think I'm running anybody down. I'm not. I'm talking to you because you're my friends. I love you. You see, this is where Brother Branham stood. Your healing's the same thing. Now, folk, we have got to follow in Abraham's step. He considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what happened? He became what God said he was. Now, please understand me. Don't look back except as your tie post. Say, that was the day. It's 2 o'clock now. See? Now, remember, I don't even know the date. It might be the 25th or 28th. I don't even know what the date is. I don't take care of the dates. Whatever it is, on this Sunday, I think it's the last Sunday in February we're in now, see? Wherever it is, this is your tie post. Now, don't you look back, except that's that day. You follow me? Please, I don't want to keep it. I got to plead with you till you understand, because I'm afraid some might not understand and say, well, Brother Vail, I'm going to try something else. You don't try things. You believe it, and God will do it. God will do it. See, He said you come right up into it. See, we're marching to Zion. We're going on now. See? Believe me. Oh, if I could tell you, it's in my heart. How can I tell you what I know? See, I'm no prophet. But how do you know certain things? You just know. And I could stand here and tell you, sure as I stand here, God being my judge, He wouldn't lie to you. I know that some of you people are. I'd like to believe every one. But I would say a tremendous majority. You're going to find what I said is the truth. You're going to find the truth. I haven't lied to you. And I haven't lied because the prophet didn't lie, see? See, I know, and you know. So, we should just praise God today. And thank God, by the obedience of faith, it's over. Victory's won. The victory's won. See, don't look back and say, this was this and that was that. This is my moment. The moment of truth, as they call it. You believe that with me? I believe you do. It's such a wonderful presence of the Lord here. It's just so good. Let's sing that little chorus, that song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Who started it?
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just in simple trust to trust Him, just to know, thus said the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Heavenly Father, we've been singing the truth from our hearts, and Lord, I must admit, it sure does feel good to trust You and to put our faith in the simple operations You told us to do, which You never ever told us to do anything hard. You just said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just repent. You just said, wash feet. Sit there at the Lord's Supper. And now, Lord, at the end time, You told us what to do. And it's good, Lord, to do what You said. And it's wonderful to know we've done it. But, Lord, what a great moment of triumph it's going to be when every soul here is suddenly aroused to the fact how great it really was, that this was it. Never asking any big thing, just asking that little thing. And Lord, when we saw that great prophet who could stand up and act so small and yet be so big, and it always come down to little thing, Lord, I just pray that in your grace, this is the hour in which we learned to be real humble and real small and just obey those little things. And then to put all faith in what he said to do. Lord God, don't let there be a Naaman amongst us who's looking for some big thing. May there be a lot of little Naaman servants around the place who say, my master, if he'd have said some big thing, you'd have been just anxious to show you could do it because you think you're a big man. Now, why didn't you do that little thing? Lord, there have been sisters and brothers going through here, and they've done that little thing. And, Lord, I pray that there won't be one who overlooks the fact that he's done exactly the right thing and that you answer according to your truth. Lord, bless each one. And as we go, Father, may we go in a spirit of faith and solemnity coupled with joy. Sons and daughters of the King. Because that's what we are. We ask these mercies in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we go, let's just walk in that faith of solemnity and joy. That if we sing once more, we'll walk in the light because that's what we're walking in.